Chapter 25. Why for Yoke. When Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," Matthew 11, verse 29, this was a call to action. He did not promise to take away our yoke, but rather has freed us from the heavy yoke of captivity to sin and invites us to share his yoke. The yoke of Christ. But what does it mean to be yoked to Christ? He has told us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, verse 30. But how do we apply this knowledge to our own lives? Although the term yoke and burden are sometimes used interchangeably, meaning something we have to bear, we learn two separate lessons from this verse in Matthew. Firstly, a yoke binds two animals together, so that they can carry a load together. As followers and imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are yoked to him and share the load. Our English Bibles, perhaps confusingly, describe this yoke as being easy. Thayer's Greek lexicon tells us that this can mean useful and manageable, but also pleasant or mild, as opposed to harsh, sharp, or bitter. It is an interesting exercise to look at how the same Greek word has been translated elsewhere. We find it in the following verses. God's kindness, KJV, goodness, is meant to lead you to repentance, Romans 2, verse 4. Be kind to one another, Ephesians 4, verse 32. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, KJV, gracious, 1 Peter 2, verse 3. If we place these words in the context of Matthew 11, we see that the yoke we share with Christ is one of kindness and goodness, and it makes our burdens easier to bear. Though the world might tell us that faith in God is futile, stifling, and merely holds us back, we know that being yoked to Christ actually helps us move forward, taking significant weight off our shoulders. To be yoked to the world is to be bound to a very thing that holds us back and causes us to stumble, and with this yoke we must carry such heavy burdens. Like the scribes and the Pharisees, the world ties up heavy burdens hard to bear and lays them on people's shoulders, Matthew 23, verse 4. But the Lord has laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53, verse 6. This heavy burden of sin and death has been taken away from all who have chosen to bind themselves to Christ and to take up his yoke. Nevertheless, we have not been promised an easy journey. There is still a burden to bear, yet Jesus says that his burden is light, Matthew 11, verse 30. And this same word is used by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, where we read, "For this light, KJV, momentary affliction, is prepping us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Verse 17. Here is our assurance, and with Christ by our side, sharing the load, we know we shall always have the strength to bear it. Out of Egypt. As slaves to the Egyptians, the Israelites carried out backbreaking work day after day. Just when they thought things couldn't get any worse, they were told that they would no longer be given straw to make bricks, but would have to gather it themselves. They would still be expecting to meet their daily quota, and would be beaten if they failed, Exodus 5, verses 10 to 14. These were impossible working conditions, and the people staggered under the weight of this heavy burden. It seems almost unthinkable, then, that the Israelites should so soon forget how hard their lives as slaves had been. The Lord God had brought them out of Egypt, freeing them from the yoke of Pharaoh with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, Deuteronomy 4, verse 34. Pharaoh and his army were now at the bottom of the sea, broken and utterly powerless. Yet freedom, they soon realized, was not as wonderful as they had imagined it would be. Surrounded by harsh, desert conditions constantly moving from one place to the next, they could not build beautiful homes and settle down to a life of luxury. Then there was the constant threat of attack, for they were wandering through a arid wilderness, carrying vulnerable stores of water, along with their livestock and a great deal of gold and jewelry. And there were so many rules, they soon found out that they couldn't worship God in the way the Egyptians had worshipped their gods. They couldn't just do as they pleased, but were given strict commandments concerning every aspect of daily life. Not only that, but there were severe punishments for disobedience. What a chore it all was. They didn't feel free at all. So when the 12 spies returned from spying out the land of Canaan, weighed down with grapes, pomegranates, and figs, and full stores of a land flowing with milk and honey, Numbers 13, verses 23 and 27, we can well understand why the people began to murmur. They lacked the faith to believe that God would bring them safely into this new and fruitful land, but at the same time, they were reminded of the lush, green vegetation of the fertile crescent and the abundant variety of fruit and vegetables which they had enjoyed there. True, there had been slaves whose cruel taskmasters had worked them hard, but at least they were relatively safe, and they had food and drink. They had enjoyed many aspects of Egyptian culture and worship. Was it really so bad? Besides, they had been victorious over Pharaoh and his army. Suddenly, the idea didn't seem so far-fetched. Perhaps they could return to Egypt and make a fresh start, living side by side with the people there, as they had in the days of Joseph. Slaves of obedience. Are we so different? When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they were redeemed from the land of Egyptians and given new life. The captors were swallowed up by the very same act that set the captives free. In the same way, when Jesus died, death was swallowed up in a victory, and at the same time, many captives were set free. God has brought us out of spiritual Egypt, setting us free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8, verse 2. We were dead in trespasses and sins in which we once walked, following the course of this world, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, like the rest of mankind. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. But through Christ we have been brought from death to life, Romans 6, verse 13, and have been made alive together with Christ, Ephesians 2, verse 5. We can see the promised land in our mind's eye. Do we truly want to be there, or do we, like the Israelites, feel pulled towards the pleasures of this life, from which we have been set free? Why then do we continue to indulge the flesh? Our natural response to freedom is to run straight back into captivity, to return to spiritual Egypt and to submit again to the yoke of slavery, Galatians 5, verse 1. Our spiritual response to freedom is to yoke ourselves to Christ, working together with him to glorify God as slaves of obedience, which leads to righteousness, Romans 6, verse 16. Being set free in order to be a slave might seem contradictory, but we know that there is no lasting happiness or peace to be found in serving sin, in serving self. When we were slaves of sin, we were set to do as we pleased, but the end of those things is death, and we were not bearing fruit, verses 20 and 21. Now that we have chosen to put on Christ and to submit to his yoke, becoming slaves of God, we know that the fruit we bear leads to sanctification and eternal life, verse 22. Walk by the Spirit. We are exhorted in Galatians not to use our freedom as an opportunity to serve the flesh, but as an opportunity to serve one another through love. Chapter 5, verse 13. Rules, laws, and traditions are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Colossians 2, verse 23. But if we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 16. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Romans 8, verse 6. Perhaps, as it did to the Israelites, this all seems impossibly hard to us. To walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh is to deny ourselves so many things. Perhaps we look around us and sometimes envy those who do not know God, and the carefree way in which they indulge their every whim without a second thought. They can say what they like, do as they please, and fulfill their every lust and pleasure. Rather than feel guilty about their hedonism, they revel in it and encourage others to do the same. It makes them feel alive. But they do not realize that spiritually they are dead without hope unless they turn to God. Whenever we begin to envy the way of life, which the world presents in such an appealing way, whenever we are tempted to gratify the desires of the flesh, we must remember that God knows what is best for His children. He knows that we need structure and discipline in order to make the most of life. Partying, self-promotion, building bigger barns, selfish relationships, none of these things will bring us lasting contentment. We know from the ever-increasing rates of stress, anxiety, depression, and suicide that the world does not have the answers, no matter how good its marketing team might be. The world's yoke is heavy and its grip is tight. The narrow path is not easy to tread, but it is far better to walk the narrow path, yoked to Christ, than to drag the weight of the world along with the broad way that leads to destruction. What a privilege it is, then, to be yoked to Christ as we journey through life. Not only does He share the load, but He also guides us along the right path. "Learn from me," He implored, Matthew 11, verse 29. As a true slave of righteousness, He has set us the ultimate example of obedience to God. Though tempted like us to enjoy the pleasures of sin, He refused to yoke Himself to the world. Instead, He set His mind on spiritual things. We too must regularly and earnestly feed our spiritual mind with the Word of God and starve our fleshly mind of opportunities for feasting. We are to keep in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 16, imitating Christ's faith working through love, verse 6. So whose slave are you? Are you in step with the Spirit or with the flesh? Have you truly turned your back on spiritual Egypt? Or is there a part of you that longs to go back? Do you indulge the flesh or deny it? Are you yoked to Christ or to the world? We show by our works whose we are. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Verse 25. Questions and suggestions. 1. What is the yoke of Christ? Are you yoked to Him or to the world? 2. Through Christ, you have been set free from the chains of sin and death. But do you really want that freedom, or does sin still have a hold on your heart? 3. Whose slave are you, and whose do you want to be? 4. What kind of fruit are you bearing? 5. What steps can you take in order to stop gratifying the desires of the flesh? What can you put into your life, and what must you push out or let go of?